So we are now back in open session on item 8, which is to consider and take possible action to adopt a resolution regarding the exclusion of physicians' callback pay from compensation for retirement purposes. Harvey, you have a presentation or a brief presentation on this?
I'll do it from up here. It's a little bit easier. I think I can be heard better. Thank you. Harvey Lederman, Reed Smith. Some time ago, a few months ago, this board asked us to conduct a review of the investigation of staff and the comments and documents and observations provided by the Physicians and Dentists Organization of Contra Costa County, which I think I can refer to as PDOC. Does that work? We have some representatives here in the audience today. This regards the items of compensation earnable that are or are not to be included in calculating the final compensation on which their members' retirement benefits are calculated. You may recall previously that we've staff has reported to the board that last year staff discovered that for many years the county had been reporting as pensionable compensation a number of different categories of time worked beyond the normal work week of the physicians at the county hospital, all being reported in the same pay code, and some of which may have been pensionable, if you will, and some of which may not have been pensionable. And staff's determination through their investigation that that the pay code was an unreliable source of determining whether or not, when we go forward and calculate their pensionable benefits, we can include that the pay that was reported in that pay category. Our investigation resulted in a detailed report, a confidential report of the facts and the law to you. Under the circumstances today, I'm just going to present very briefly on essentially summarizing for you what we found and what the applicable law is, and then we'll make a recommendation to you to adopt the resolution that appears in the public agenda packet as the proposed resolution in order to deal with this. At the conclusion of my remarks, obviously, any questions from the board, I'm happy to answer. You may have presentations or comments made by members of the physicians or their attorneys who are here in the room, and anyone else in matter of public comment on this subject matter. But it is being presented as an action item today for the board's consideration. I want to give a little bit of background about where this all, I guess, some context in the law, if you will. We often say that many of these issues relating to pensionable compensation came out of the Ventura decision back in 1997, which said that pay beyond the base pay, base salary, if it was paid in cash, should be included in people's calculation for their retirement allowances. We've all been working under the Ventura decision and struggling with what it means and its nuances for, what are we talking about, 15, 16 years now. I must say that at times it's still unclear and courts are still struggling with it, and we're actually still at the end of litigation over some of its provisions to this day. But essentially, this was what the law has been for all those 15 years, in fact, many years before that, in terms of overtime payment. The law specifically says that compensation to be counted in the pensionable compensation includes the average compensation for the period under consideration on the basis of the average number of days ordinarily worked by persons in the same greater class of positions during the measuring period at issue, at the same rate of pay. This was always interpreted as excluding overtime pay. Of course, what constitutes overtime is where the nuances are, and it's very difficult at times to get your arms around what really is overtime pay. But since the Ventura decision, we've had a lot of direction on that from the courts that we'll talk about. This was the rule, by the way, before Ventura. This was articulated not only in the statute, but in a case called Guelphi, which came out of the Marin County retirement system back in, I'm thinking, 84. That case recognized that what this language means essentially is that non-mandatory overtime, overtime that the employer did not require the employees to engage in beyond the ordinary work week that everybody in the same greater class worked, could not be included in the pension calculation. More recently, we've had a couple of cases that have tested a few of these propositions. The Stevenson case out of Osers about 4 years ago said, directly quoting, an employee's compensation earnable includes compensation received for mandatory overtime. The mandatory overtime work the employee performs that is also ordinarily worked by others in the same grade and class. Okay? Compensation received for work performed that is not ordinarily worked by others in the same grade and class is excluded. That's the Stevenson case. In that case, just to give you a little bit of flavor of how that came up, Stevenson was a narcotics investigator in the deputy sheriff's office in Orange County, but the grade and class were all investigators in the deputy sheriff's office. Stevenson, because he was a narcotics investigator, had specific requirements for time beyond his normal work week to serve in an on-call basis. But it was not served by all the investigators in the sheriff's office. Stevenson claimed that since all the narcotics investigators that in the unit that I work for had, you know, were required to serve this extra time, it should be included because it's mandatory and regularly served by my peers. The appellate court said no. Appellate court said no. The class of positions that you're to be compared to are all investigators because that's how the county classified you. All investigators, not just a subgroup called narcotics investigators. And they said it's not enough that just people in your unit all are required to work this additional time and get pay for it. It has to be everybody in the same greater class. That was followed not too long after that by a case that came up out of Marin County called Sheldon. And in that situation, the Court of Appeals, the same Court of Appeals that would hear any case that came out of Contra Costa County, that's the first District Court of Appeals in San Francisco, said that the plain language of the 37 Act Searle County Employees Retirement Law, same section 31461, makes it clear that overtime pay is not to be included in comp earnable except where the overtime hours are regularly scheduled. If it's voluntary, however, and considered outside normal working hours, then it may not be included in compensation earnable. So there's, again, the distinction between mandatory and voluntary service. Somebody who comes forward and says, you know, my unit needs people to be on call, for example, in the evenings in case we have an emergency and we need to have somebody come back and staff. But you all can decide who wants to do that, and some people sign up for it and some people don't. That's considered voluntary on-call, if you will, or call service, and not considered pensionable by the courts under our law. This came up last year. Well, now it's 2012, so it's a year and a half ago, in a case under PERS over in the city of Pleasanton with a fire chief. And in that situation, in a comparable situation under the PERS statute, The Court of Appeals said in the Pleasanton case that pay received for time outside normal working hours, paid for at a fraction of the normal pay rate, is not pensionable compensation under their comparable statute. Some of this has been teed up in the litigation, as you know, that we've been involved in front of Judge Flynn recently, where we expect a judgment to be entered next week. And Judge Flynn, in his statement of decision about a month and a half ago, said that on-call, standby, callback, these types of pay for work that is after your ordinary work week may be included in comp earnable if the work was required to be served by the member and ordinarily worked by all persons in the same greater class, same thing we've been talking about, during the final compensation period. Pay for such time that is voluntarily served, according to Judge Flynn, does not qualify as pensionable compensation earnable. In the AB 197 litigation, we were talking about whether this board could enforce the new law that was passed, AB 197. AB 197 left this entire definition of compensation earnable and all the overtime issues in place in the statute. No change in that. But then it added some additional provisions that said that for your current members, comp earnable does not include, sub one, any compensation determined by the board to have been paid to enhance a member's benefit, or specifically, number three, payments for additional services rendered outside normal working hours. Now, based on the stay order in effect in AB 197, this board has been prevented from implementing those provisions one and three on the slide for current members of the system while the litigation has been pending. But the language under 31461A is the same as it's always been, and that's what's teed up this issue with the physicians. So let's just go back and summarize. What we're talking about is that the law's requirement is that for us to count in pensionable compensation any time that is served beyond the ordinary time that others in the same grade and class serve on a regular work week, as dictated by the memoranda of understanding that is in place for the employees in question, the time, the pay, must have been previously included by this board. It must have been regularly scheduled to be worked, and it must be ordinarily required of and received by the other members of the system who work in the same grade and class of positions as the person who's retiring. And what Judge Flynn told us was, I want you to look at each member's situation. I don't want you to make a blanket rule that everything in a particular pay code, for example, is to be excluded. I want you to look at each member's situation and determine whether in that member's work experience they can meet these criteria. We have spent a good deal of time trying to identify with the physicians and doctors what it is exactly that they do. Much of this, what we're trying to avoid is words and the nomenclature and look at what the activity is, because we got a lot of terms called callback, on-call, call worked. There's any number of different labels have been put on this. Of course, the county had been reporting to us for years all of those things under the pay code D16, if you will, and saying that it was pensionable. So rather than getting hung up on the labels, because I know for some doctors, they use the same phrase on call when they're home, subject or on the telephone with patients or subject to having their beeper go off and say, get back to the hospital, we have an emergency. They also refer to when they're on at the hospital, they're on call making rounds. And so we have to avoid these labels and talk about what is the activity, what are they doing? Because if we want to know whether they meet the statutory requirements of pensionable compensation, regularly required by, and mandatory of everybody in the same grade and class, we look at what the behavior is, not what the label that's slapped on it is. So we broke this down into three types of behavior, if you will. The first one, I'm trying to use the pointer on this, and that doesn't seem, but it's not too hard to see on the slide. The first type of behavior activity that the doctors report to us is that this time that they spend on the premises at the hospital performing rounds on the weekend. Okay? Now, under their MOU, this is paid at their regular hourly rates plus a premium additional payment of $42 an hour when they're doing this type of behavior. Okay, so that's one of the things that was reported under D16 as pensionable. The second type is time where they're off premises. They're not at the hospital, but they have to be ready to be called back in a moment's notice. And as a result, they're limited as to what they can do. They're limited as to how far they can travel away from the hospital. They're limited as to what activities they can engage in while they're in this status. But this is where they're away. They may be home. They may be doing other activities. They are not necessarily performing medical services while they're doing this. They're on off-premises, and they're subject to being called back, if you will, to perform services at the hospital. This time, under their memorandum of understanding, is paid, you know, different ones have different pay rates, but it's paid at a fraction of their normal pay rate for good reasons. So some of them are paid a fourth of their normal pay rate, some maybe an eighth of their normal pay rate, but it's a fraction, recognizing that they're actually not necessarily working as physicians at the time they're getting paid, but they're being paid because they're holding themselves in a ready status. So that's the second type of pay that was also recorded in pay code D16. Then we have the third type of pay. This is time when they've come back to the hospital from this on-call status. They come back to the hospital to attend to some medical emergency or patient care. And again, under their MOU, this is paid at their normal rate plus a kicker of another $42 an hour under the MOU. Now, I'm doing this as a general statement. There are some provisions of some of the MOUs that differ by a dollar amount or something like that for some of the people, but I'm giving you, that's why I've used the word generally here. This is generally true, but it gives you an idea of the three different types of working conditions for which they are paid something other than what they're paid for their normal work week, which under their MOU is a 40-hour work week, Monday through Friday. That's what the MOU says, a 40-hour work week. These pay types are for doing things other than what happens Monday through Friday at their regular rate of pay, sometimes for more money, sometimes for a fraction of their regular rate of pay. So what we're suggesting to you, and we're going to recommend to the board, is that you recognize that just knowing that these three types of pay, the three types of activities for which they are paid exist, doesn't give you the full picture as to whether or not it ought to be pensionable. Because none, if you read these three different types of pay, it doesn't give you an idea as to whether it is required of them, it is mandatory. It doesn't tell you whether they do it on a regular basis. It doesn't tell you whether it's regularly required of everybody in the same grade or class. The same grade or class for physicians, for members of PDOC, are all county physicians. Not just oncologists, not just obstetricians. They may break themselves into separate units. Remember, like the Stevenson case, where there was a narcotics investigation unit and all investigators. Under the county's pay schedule, all physicians are in the same grade and class for the county. So while some things may differ unit by unit, our job is to look at what is required, ordinarily required, of everybody in the same grade and class, that is, from all physicians. But we can't tell that just by looking at the type of pay that they receive for this overtime type work. So our recommendation to the board is that you adopt this resolution that we've prepared, which, besides reciting a lot of the facts behind all this, affirms the treatment of pay code D16 as not pensionable, which is what you have had in the past, that the staff has made a determination that D16 should not have been and is not to be used for pensionable compensation, but that we let any member who's retiring in their retirement application come in and demonstrate to the satisfaction of the board that in their particular case, one or more of those types of pay meets the statutory requirements for being included in pensionable compensation. And they can do that, and they can do that from their pay records, whatever they have available to them. We should take a look at that and make a determination, just as we would for anybody making an application for retirement, claiming that they were entitled to have certain premium pays included in their pensionable compensation. So too here, we cannot rely, we've determined that we cannot rely simply on the designation of pay code D16 as being pensionable or non-pensionable. It's not enough. We have to peel the label back, and we have to look at what actually happened. And in any particular doctor's case, and any of those three types of pay, they may be able to demonstrate to you that everybody in the same grade and class was required to serve that, and that they did so mandatorily, not voluntarily. They didn't just volunteer in the last year, for example, to sign up for other people's on-call status so that they could increase their pensionable benefits, but that this was something that was required of everybody. We've had in the past, I think it was in November, we had Dr. McDonald and a number of others come before the board and make representations as to how these things work for the county. And that's all been taken into consideration in addition to the actual pay records and the schedules from the county hospital and from the Department of Health Services. So that material has all been reviewed. I've provided to you an appendix of all the materials that we did review in making our analysis on this. But that is our recommendation to the board at this time, that you do allow on a member-by-member basis people to come in and demonstrate to you that they did receive pensionable compensation that should be included in their retirement benefit allowance. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll open it up for questions. And, of course, any further comments from any members representing the PDOC organization.
Are there any questions this time? David, you or anyone want to make public comment? I know you weren't here earlier when we had public comment, but you're welcome to at this point.
Yeah, should I use
the please, Arthur.
That'd be great. Thank you.
I guess it's afternoon by now. Good afternoon. My name's Arthur Liu. I'm an attorney with the law firm Leonard Carter here on behalf of PDOC. We've been before the board before, as Harvey mentioned. And you have, I think, in your packets also attached the resolution, some of the arguments that we've presented previously regarding this pay code And I think that those reasons are just as valid today as they were then. As you heard from the physicians in November, this callback category is an important part of the services that they provide. It's a vital and necessary service for patient care. And the way that this evolved was that for physicians who are scheduled to be on call for weekends or holidays, they necessarily must come in and perform what's been recorded as callback work, that they are required to come in because they are essentially the physicians in charge of the facility. They're required to come in, perform rounding, see to patient needs, those kinds of tasks that are normally taken care of during the regular work week by a full complement of physicians. But in the case of weekends and holidays, that falls to the physician that's on call, or usually I think it's a pair of physicians that are scheduled to be on call. So we do believe that it is scheduled. It meets the requirements of the pay code as it was established under the post-Ventura settlement. There was a settlement that was entered into by CICERA, the county, retirees who were part of the lawsuit, and that resulted in the decision that scheduled physician callback would be included as compensation earnable. But I think primarily what I want to raise is the kind of uncertainty that this really creates for the physicians, who have been here for some of them, you know, coming up on two decades under this regime, where they were under the impression that this was going to be included as compensation earnable. They were never told otherwise. They were never told that they needed to record their time in a different fashion from the way that they were. All of it was being recorded as callback, even though a majority of it, I would say, is scheduled. It is scheduled because it's done pursuant to the on-call schedule. And then you do have that other type where it's essentially unscheduled because someone gets called back after they've already finished their duties at the facility and have gone home for the day. But nobody told the physicians that they needed to be recording their time in some other fashion. And so essentially, they're being penalized for what amounts to an accounting error, a problem of trying to account for this time and categorizing the scheduled and the unscheduled differently. Quite frankly, there's been no accountability about how this came to be, whether it's because the county failed to follow through on the agreement and implement two different pay codes for this kind of work, or whether because CICERA continued to collect contributions without actually asking, is all of this being done according to the scheme that we've set up? I guess the last thing I would say is that if the board does decide to exclude this pay code, we would seek assurances that the contributions that have been made will be paid back to members with interest, which is what I understand CICERA's policy to be with regard to excess contributions. Because they've been paying in money under the arrangement that this would be pensionable for many years now, that could potentially be a sizable sum of money, and I think that's going to be important for members' retirement security and should therefore be paid back promptly. And that's all I've got.
Thank you, Arthur. Harvey?
I just want to make one thing clearer than perhaps I've made it. We're talking about the calculation of what goes into someone's retirement benefit based upon their final compensation period. For current members of the system who have not yet retired, their final compensation period is going to be sometime. Well, it's their selection. It'll be the highest, you know, they'll select what is the highest 1 year if they're a tier one. They're going to select the highest final compensation period on which to base their retirement allowance calculation. So whatever has happened historically in terms of record keeping is irrelevant. It's only going to matter what happens in the year that they select as their final compensation period. as to what were the elements of pay that they received during that 1 year, if you will, and what is and is not included, what's pensionable pay, which non-pensionable overtime, and that sort of thing. So for someone who is not yet retired, if they select a final year of 2013 or May of 2013 to May of 2014 or 2015 or whatever it is, it doesn't matter what's happened to the record keeping in the past on all this. It only matters about what elements of pay they're going to have included in final compensation during that year. So I just wanted to make that very clear.
But the best 12 months may be 10 years ago.
No, podium name. I think we've got to keep a record, sorry.
That's not the way to put it.
I'm David McDonald. I'm one of the physicians at Contra Costa County and president of PDOC. So it's the best 12 contiguous months that pension is based on. And for some docs, that was, you know, 10 years ago. So it's not necessarily the last 12 months. So it does make a difference. I mean, I've been paying towards this pension item for the last 21 years. And if it's not going to be included, then where does that leave me? The other additional information on type 2 with respect to call paid at 1 to 4, just for your information, that's not necessarily having a pager waiting to be called back in. That I was on call last night, and much of the night I was spent on the phone talking to the emergency room and managing patients over the phone. And that wasn't just passive call. That was call with active management. Over the years, we had this agreement, our understanding with Sosera regarding our pensions, and it's always been my understanding and my colleagues, and we've recruited people with an understanding what their pension should be. I would like to see Sosera honor this arrangement we've had over the years, and thank you for your time.
I had a question, please.
Scott.
You said something that prompts a question. You're not testifying that you have an agreement or an MOU with Sosera, correct?
We have an understanding with the county, basically, with respect to what is counts towards pension and what doesn't. And that's been supported by Sosera all these years by those who have retired before me, who have had that pay item included. So, I mean, is that not an agreement or an understanding with respect to what's pensionable?
Well, I'm just trying to clarify. Your employment agreement, the MOU, is between PDOC and the county and the city.
That's correct.
Right? Okay.
That's correct.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Thanks, David. Harry?
Harvey, I just want to confirm this. There's not a lot of discretion here. The court has ordered that this is how we have to calculate going forward. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And one of the requests is if we do this going forward and they can't meet those other criteria that you put up there, a reimbursement of those funds, is that something to take into consideration later? That isn't really before us today, but it could.
You're talking about what happens to contributions collected on that pay item. That's for a future day.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just want to make sure that we are all on the same page. Thank you.
I want to clarify one thing. So if these person, the doctor, was to retire and use their last 12 months of their best year, would they or would they not be getting the D-16 and their pension vulnerable?
We would look at what exactly service they rendered and whether it met the criteria and make a judgment on a member-by-member basis.
Okay. And so we told them we're not going to use that last year, even though they paid a contribution towards it. How does that affect what he was talking about? So where you told them if you don't use it, it doesn't matter if it's going forward, but if they use last year's and they contributed towards it, and we don't allow them to use it, what happens to those contributions?
We're not dealing with contributions today. That's not on the agenda.
Okay. Any other questions? Is there a motion with regards to the proposed resolution?
Yes, I will move the resolution based on the recommendation of staff and fiduciary counsel.
Second.
Any further discussion on the item? All those in favor of the item, let's do it by raise of hands. All those in favor, raise your hand. Got it. All opposed? Abstentions? Abstention? So the proposed resolution is accepted, and staff will work with PDOC and their representatives with regards to how to best go about presenting evidence in support of showing the compensability of pay items.
Let's go.
Dan?
There was reference presentation in the motion or in the resolution itself to both the confidential report and also a investigation. In the tradition of this board in its past, I would ask that the board make those documents public.
With regards to the investigation, I don't know as far as the availability of paperwork or with regards to the results of the investigation.
Is investigation mean research? I mean, we didn't
research into the pay items and the and.
I don't know whether there was a report to the board or to Harvey or I don't know what the but there's a reference to it. There's a discussion. I believe mentioned of it today, and it's within the resolution itself too.
I don't recall a report in paper form to the board.
No, I don't believe there is. I know data was gathered by staff, made available to us. We reviewed substantial material, and we presented a written confidential memorandum to the board. The board has the authority at any time to waive that confidentiality and make it public. But there was no other written report other than that to the board.
Okay, so maybe if I may, then if there are questions that I might have about the data that was collected that might reside with staff, if you waive the confidentiality on that, to the extent that doesn't violate any privacy concerns that I don't know what they might be. And secondly, the confidential memo, much as you did, for example, with the Lederman memo in 2005.
Would you add that to your...
If I may, Mr. Chairman, with yes. regard to the what essentially is an oral records request for data, I would prefer that that be made in writing so that Cicera can respond to that and take into account member confidentiality as well as other issues. That would be easier for to deal with. That doesn't necessarily hold true with the legal analysis, which I understand. And it's up to the board. The board could decide to make that available if it wished. But on the other records, I think it would be best to have the request made in writing if Mr. Bornstein is willing to do that.
I'm happy to do that. Karen,
do you have
we'll comment? Work with Dan to review the documentation and provide to you what we can, what's not privileged, letters, things like that. So we'll work with you on that once we get your request.
Okay, but on legal analysis?
We're going to deal with that in just a second.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank
Scott?
You.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to move at this time that, with the consent of Reed Smith, that the memorandum provided to the board as a confidential memorandum bearing the date, I believe, Harvey, correct me, April 14, 2014. I believe that's the correct
date. That's correct.
Yeah, that's correct.
That we, I will move that we waive the confidentiality of that memorandum, make it a public document and a part of the administrative record of our action today.
Second.
For clarification, may I ask the maker of that motion if you mean to include any other communications with counsel other than that in your waiver motion, other than the specific letter itself?
I do not, but I'll note for the record that the letter provides an appendix which delineates the broad and expansive administrative record of materials that our determination is ultimately based on, and I think that would be helpful. But with respect to your direct question, no, my motion solely is with respect to the April 14 letter.
Thank you.
Okay. With the motion in mind, let's take a vote. All those in favor?
Second.
In favor of waiving confidentiality with regards to the April 14th letter from Reed Smith. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.